So have you ever heard somebody say, God has forgotten about me? I don't know what God's doing, but he doesn't seem to be paying much attention to what's going on in my life or what's going on in the world. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've said it recently. Well, today we're going to look at a passage where there's a woman who is crippled, who is bent over at the waist for 18 years. And I want you to think about what that might feel like. Not only the physical disability, but the emotional problems that that would cause. And we're going to read this passage, and there's a whole lot more in this passage than just one woman being healed. And Jesus is revealing some things to us that have to do with our lives today. So we're going to open up to Luke 13, and starting with verse 10. Luke 13, verse 10. And it says this, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. So I want you to think about this woman and how she might be feeling and what that might be like. Probably embarrassing, on top of being painful. And Jesus calls her out of the crowd and he heals her. And when I think about it, one of the first things that comes to my mind is that Jesus is showing his love and compassion for his people. This is one of his daughters, one of his children, one of the people that he cares about. So he shows compassion. That's the first thing I want you to see because, you know, when we read the Bible and we read passages, whether they're about this woman or whether they're about Peter or James or John or somebody else in the Bible, remember that God is the hero. And Jesus is always the main character of every passage in the Bible. And we're to ask ourselves, what is God showing us about himself in this? So we see God's love. Another thing we see is his power. This woman, for 18 years, has been bent over, and she is straightened up. Jesus has power. And I want you to see another thing about his power. It's not only physical power, it's spiritual power. She has a physical problem. She's bent over. But the spiritual problem, it says that a spirit is doing this. And later Jesus refers to the spirit as Satan. Satan has bound her. So what we're seeing here is that Jesus has power and authority over the spiritual realm and the physical realm. He has complete authority. He is revealing who he is. Satan may have power. Jesus' power is greater. And when I talk about this, I know that there are two mistakes I think that Christians make in thinking about the spiritual realm or thinking about Satan and demons and angels. And here's the two mistakes I think people make. One mistake, and this is a mistake that's made in America, because I believe in the United States, Satan has convinced people he doesn't exist. There's no spiritual realm. Don't worry about it. You guys are too educated for this. You've had too much schooling to think that there's a Satan or a demon. You can't believe this stuff. And here's what that's like. That's like going into battle and walking across the middle of a battlefield with your head held high without a helmet on. You're opening yourself up or walking across a boxing ring with your hands down, not realizing you're about to get punched. There is a spiritual realm, and we do have an enemy, and he does desire to destroy us, to draw us away from Jesus. Don't forget that, and don't neglect that. We have an enemy. He works differently in different places. Down in Haiti, they have voodoo, and people have curses put on them, and all these different things happen. He works differently in different places. But make no mistake, he is real, and he hates you, and he wants to destroy you and take you away from God. Then there's another mistake that people make in thinking that everything is an attack of Satan. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. A flat tire, it might be. It might not be. It might have to do with air pressure. Okay? Or you wake up this morning with a scratchy throat, and I'm being attacked by Satan. I'm not sure that Satan is going to attack you by giving you the sniffles. Okay, I think he might have a greater purpose in things. And sometimes you say, well, Satan is tempting me. Sometimes your own thoughts and your own desires tempt you. Sometimes it's just you. So sometimes I think people can go too far one way or too far the other. But here is what the Bible teaches us. We have an enemy. He is powerful. He is aligned against God and his people. And he is at work in the world. Here's another reality. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than Satan. So we see that here. We see that in this passage. He's more powerful than the physical, anything in the physical realm, anything in the spiritual realm. And let's face it, they're connected. How you are doing physically is related to how you're doing spiritually. And how you're doing spiritually can actually affect your physical well-being. It's all connected. We are people who are physical and spiritual. So understanding this, Jesus has the power to heal everything. Here's another thing that Jesus is showing us here. So he is loving, he is powerful, but he is showing the people living in that time and living today that he is reversing the effects of sin. He is bringing a new kingdom into the world. You see, because the reason there's pain and suffering in the world, the reason for that is because sin entered the world. There's sin, there's pain, there's suffering. But there is going to come a day when there is none of that. And Jesus, in performing these miracles, is demonstrating he is bringing about a kingdom where all these painful things are going to be set aside. You know, we went to a Red Sox game a couple weeks ago, and every player, when he gets up, has a theme song. You know, some guys it's rock, some guys it's country. And the catcher, Sandy Leon, when he got up, there was a song that was in Spanish, and they put it up on the board, the words of it, and the words were, "En el cielo no hay hospital." In heaven, there is no hospital. I thought, that's really cool. And I actually ended up looking up the words online, and he went through all these ailments that you won't have in heaven. And that's part of this miracle, is Jesus is bringing God's kingdom into this world. And it doesn't mean it's all going to happen all at once, because we know we live in this sinful and broken and painful world now, but he gives us little hints. He gives us little glimpses of what that future with him is going to be like as he heals us, as he brings spiritual healing and physical healing. And so we're kind of in that in-between stage. You know, I think of it in some ways as being like a high school kid. You know, your parents give you some freedom, a lot more than you had when you were 8 or 10 or 12. You know, here's the keys to the car for a couple hours, maybe. But you're not completely free yet, right? But you're getting little glimpses. You're learning what the next stage of your life is going to be like. So as we pray to God and as we see his healing in our lives, he is giving glimpses of, yes, this is what heaven's going to be like. So Jesus is showing this in this woman. And what is her response? Well, I want you to think about it for a second. Have you ever, you know, if you've ever been sick or injured or had surgery, and then when you get better, when you're healed, don't you feel like you have this new lease on life? Oh man, it feels good to be healthy again. But imagine this woman who had no hope of medical cure. There was no hope for her in that world. And what does she do? It says she praises God. Jesus performs miracles so God can be praised, so he can be glorified, because he is worthy of it. But here's a question people might ask in looking at this passage. Why isn't everyone healed? Why doesn't it happen right now? And, well, Jesus has told us. Andy mentioned the passage earlier. In this world, you will have trouble. You will. The word is actually tribulation. And there's actually a lie out there, and I've talked to you guys about this a lot in the past, a false teaching that says this. If you come to Jesus, life will be easy. You will have healing for your diseases. You will have more than enough money. You will be provided for, and then some. You could maybe even live in a luxurious way. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that teaching? Well, it's unbiblical. That's what's wrong. But here's another reason that's wrong with it. Because when that doesn't happen, people get angry and turn from God. Well, God said life was supposed to be easy. No, he didn't. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. That's John 16. And then why do I have to go through suffering? We live in this broken world. I saw some statistics this week that said there are 150,000 people that die every day on this planet, over 50 million a year. And when it's close to us, of course, it just hits home, and it just, it hurts so bad. But we live in this broken world. But there's going to come a day when we won't, and we look forward to that day. So Jesus is revealing who he is. He's the Savior who is loving and powerful, who's going to bring in this new kingdom, who has already brought in this new kingdom, and is going to deliver us to heaven. But there's something else in this passage, because you notice that the first sentence, it says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching. One of the big points here is that Jesus stirs up some trouble. He causes conflict, and I believe he does it intentionally. He calls this woman out of the crowd on a Sabbath. For the Jewish people, the Saturday, it was their Sabbath day. He calls this woman out, and he heals her. And we look at this guy, the synagogue leader, who says there's 6 days to be healed. You know, why not come back on one of those days? But here's one of the problems with becoming overly religious, and what I mean by that is coming into empty religion. Religious rituals, routines, going through motions. That's what it seemed like a lot of the people in Jesus' time were going through. And I think we have a tendency, we can fall into traps of thinking, well, that our faith is about this religious practice or that, or this tradition or that tradition. And this isn't against traditional churches, because anything can become a tradition. A blaring electric guitar solo can become a tradition if you do it every week. Right? It doesn't matter. A lot of different things become traditions. And I was talking with a woman a few years back, and I just remember the conversation because it surprised me. And I just want to tell you that when I say I was talking to a woman or I was talking to a guy and I share it, it's not about you. I take people who are outside of our church. So if you come to me in confidence, you're not going to show up in a sermon. I promise, unless I ask permission ahead of time. And then occasionally I pick on Duncan without asking permission, but I know he can take it, so I do that sometimes. But so this woman said to me, I've gone to this new church, and I've been in church my whole life, and I knew this woman was a Christian. And she said, but something's really bothering me. And I said, what is it? And I said, well, the church that I go to, all the churches I've gone to used to have a pulpit that was right in the middle, and they have theirs off to the side. Oh, okay. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Let me pray for you. At that point, I don't know what to say. I mean, but for her, that's what church seemed to be. That's what needed to happen. That's a religious routine. It doesn't mean she didn't love the Lord. It just means a religious routine had kind of crept in. And it's totally irrelevant to the situation. You're in a relationship with a loving and powerful God. The routine isn't what's central. What had happened with these people, the routine had become central, and they started to add rules. And I think we all are in danger of being pulled away into different routines and rituals. I know for me, I remember one time I went to worship service up at Monadnock, and the worship team was up there playing, and one of the guys in the worship team then gave a little message at the end, and he opened God's word, and he read the word, and he preached. And what I remember about that was the guy had sunglasses on the top of his head. And I remember thinking, what's he doing? Why has he got sunglasses on his head? Is he making a statement? What's wrong with this guy? And, none of the pastors I grew up with had sunglasses on their head. Does he think he's cool? Does he think he's tough? What's going on? And do you know what that guy preached about? I have no idea. Because I was looking at the dumb sunglasses on his head. And what is that in me? You know what that was in me? That was me getting religious. That was me being used to something. I still don't know why he had the sunglasses on his head. But that was me getting so used to something that I thought mattered. And then afterwards I was convicted. My thought was this. He read God's word. And he preached God's word. And maybe God had something for me to take home that day. And I missed it. Missed it completely. Because I wanted to be caught up in some tradition or some ritual. And that's really what it is. It's not what it's about. And I see these guys here looking at their rule books. And when I say rule books, I'm not talking about the Bible. They had a book that they added to the Bible of all these rules of what they could and couldn't do, especially what they couldn't do on the Sabbath. And you know what I see very interesting in this here? Is you have this woman, and women were looked down on. The religious guys back in this time used to pray a prayer. They used to say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not a woman." And so they were looked down on. I'm serious. And second-class citizens. But imagine this. How much worse must it be for a woman who always has to look up at people sideways? I mean, what a tough way to live. But Jesus lifts her up. Jesus straightens her out while you got the religious guys over here like this. There's got to be a rule about healing on the Sabbath. Where is that? You know, can you guys look it up in subsection 5.3.7? You know, where is it? Where is that? Anything about antibiotics? No, they haven't been invented yet. What kind of healing can you do on the Sabbath? And you got these religious guys that are being knocked down and this daughter of Abraham, a woman, being lifted up. What a great picture of what Jesus does. He exalts the humble and he humbles the proud. And he's telling these guys, look, guys, you don't get it. Because here's the point that he makes. If you have an animal and he's tied up to a post, you will untie that animal and bring that animal over to water. And he says, this woman was tied to Satan. This woman was bound, and I untied her. And to miss the whole point of Jesus' love and his power, that is the point of this passage. We have a God of love and power who has the authority and the power and the compassion, and he can heal you. And he changes lives, and that's the God we are in relationship with. It's not about religious rituals or an empty religion. It's about following and being in relationship with a living God who is all-powerful. And if you have found yourself that you're caught up in religion, that God is about an hour a week of just coming and doing the same thing every week, I'm going to encourage you to get out of that pattern. I'm going to encourage you to recognize that every single moment of every day, you are in relationship with a powerful and loving God. And he can deliver you, but he may not deliver you in the timing that you want or in the way that you want. And you may not get the answer that you want when you pray. But I promise you that you will be delivered one day. You will see him face to face. In heaven, there is no hospital. And we will be like Jesus at that day. We look forward to that day. And the message is to trust him even through the difficult times. So we are in a relationship with a God of power and of love. It's not about empty religion. And let's remember that. And let's humble ourselves before God. And let's recognize him for who he is, the God of power and love. Let's pray. Lord, I'm sorry if any of us here have ever made you a checkbox. We check off our religious practices and move on with our lives. You are so much more than that. You love us beyond what we can even fathom about love. you have power that we have no understanding of. Lord, we trust you. We believe in you. We desire to know you more. We desire to be more like you. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.